So in your new book, you talk about the importance of strengthening the nervous system, and that's not a concept that that exists in conventional medicine, the idea that we need to build and strengthen our nervous system. So can you talk a little bit about that concept and also how you perceive the nervous system and its role with regards to these conditions?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that that's the most powerful aspect of herbalism is the herbs and herbal medicine, as we use it, can be powerful curatives for certain. But I think that their far greater place is as preventatives, as just kind of part of our daily lives is how they used to be and how they were used by, you know, civilizations for centuries, was to feed and nourish our bodies. And as preventatives, because they're extremely concentrated in nutrients that just seem to spark and build our own creative forces. So, I mean, as an herbalist, when I look at herbs, this is one of the areas that I focus on the most, is how to prevent things from happening, like how we create lifestyle changes and how we bring plants and other really positive things into our lives that help us to keep from getting ill. And of course, it doesn't always work 100%, but that ability to be stronger and to feel stronger and to live with a sense of balance is a place where I think herbalism can play a really greater role. And then how I perceive the nervous system, I mean, I don't really perceive it as so much in the medical sense. I mean, I think that is, you know, that has to be taken into account for certain. But I see it more as our entire response to the world around us and how we interpret that, how we respond to that. It's more of certainly it's our nervous systems and our neurons and those billions of cells in our brains and all of that, but it's more about our ability to receive and perceive and react and respond to the environment, both externally and internally, at any given moment. And, you know, the place that herbs and lifestyle plays is that the more grounded that we are, the more we're able to respond in that way, in a more balanced and centered way. Does that explain it well?
I think that's pretty good. One of the things that I really loved about this book was you were describing, like you just did, about how the nervous system is sort of our coordinator of our lives and our bodies, but also in a way it's sort of this mysterious final frontier for science as well, because it's an interface between how our body functions and our own consciousness. It's not something that maybe we will ever fully grasp.
Well, I don't think we'll grasp it until we fully grasp what spirit is, you know, because it's that idea that, you know, we are studying the body in ways that we never have before. It's, you know, kind of in leaps and bounds. And we understand a lot of the physicality of how the body, even how the brain works. Like in our lifetime, the understanding of how the brain works has been, you know, just extensive. It's been amazing. But we still, even with that, unless you take into some kind of spirit, or maybe you could call it quantum physics, something beyond the actual physical, we don't really understand how we breathe life, you know, creative energy, life force, into that nervous system. And so it does take us into that place of understanding our responses through more of a spirit way. Through, you know, it's definitely more than physical, because no matter how much you study neurons and, you know, the brain and all of that, it really doesn't account for how this creative force that we as humans are, that really make us life, which is held in that nervous system, that amazing system that fluctuates through every part of our body. We can't really even begin to account for it. It is miraculous, actually. And when I'm teaching my beginner herb students, to me this is the most complex system, really. But I always start here, because I always feel like, I always say to my students, if you know nothing else to help somebody, you can always offer something. An herb tea, even the most gentle herb tea, that will affect the nervous system and therefore affects everything, the way we feel physically, the way we feel emotionally. It has this tremendous impact on everything that we do.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking today to herbalist Rosemary Gladstar about her latest book, Herbs for Stress and Anxiety. Rosemary, before we get into some of the, I'm sure we have listeners who are anxious to hear what are some of these herbs that they can do or make at home and use both preventatively and to manage symptoms. But before we go there, let's talk just briefly about why you think that going purely the conventional route, say managing symptoms with pharmaceuticals, is the wrong way to approach this scenario.
Well, I think that in, you know, first of all, I want to clarify that I think in emergency situations or life-threatening situations, for instance, somebody who has depression so severe that their own life is in danger, that pharmaceuticals are a good choice. And maybe not a long-term choice, but they're pretty remarkable for, you know, life-threatening situations like that. But for long-term management, I don't think they do. I hate to say this, I don't think that they're effective because they never really reach down to what the cause are. Almost all pharmaceuticals are designed to block nerve responses. And so you don't feel the pain. You don't get to where the troubles are. And, you know, anybody who's involved in any kind of natural healing, whether it's conventional natural healing or herbal healing or what, or, you know, what all the various practices recognizes that you have to get to the core problem if you really want to correct the imbalance. When you're talking about something that has such influence on our emotional and physical being as the nervous system, if you're not addressing what that underlying, kind of what I call the fire under the smoke alarm, you could put the smoke alarm out with pharmaceuticals and even strong herbs. We have some pretty strong herbs that can, they don't work quite as strong or quite the same as pharmaceuticals, but you can, you know, you can dull that pain enough that you don't get down to the underlining problem. But in the nervous system, to not reach for what that problem is, which is basically what the call is. The call is there's a nerve that's being inflamed, something down there that's really bothering us, physiologically or emotionally or spiritually, and this is our call to attention. So this is a place where herbs and other lifestyle changes also can really, you know, address those problems. And for me, and I've noticed this, you know, in the last 40 years that I've been working as an herbalist, is that when you really address that with the nervous system, it just increases the quality of life on every level. I mean, I see it in my own life. I always use myself as an example. You know, I'm busy. I have a lot that goes on every day and in my life, both with my work, my family, my clients, you know, everything that I do. And when I remember to take care of this primary system, and of course all the systems, there's sort of crazy to talk about one system and not another, but when I'm really addressing my nervous health, my nervous system health, it really, I mean, I can feel the difference in everything that I do. And so I know that difference personally. So it's for the quality of our whole lives. And when you're blocking that for any length of time, I think short periods of time, it's like anything. There are times when you need to put a bandage on something, but to do that long period is, you know, really, it's not addressing what often are major problems in our lives.
And generally speaking, Rosemary, do you think it's okay for people who are listening, who are on pharmaceuticals, who are managing their stress and anxiety that way, to do both at the same time? Do the herbs, the pharmaceuticals, and the lifestyle changes?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, I think it all depends on the pharmaceutical, the individual, and the herbs, actually. Personally, there is so much warning about using herbs with pharmaceuticals, and I think that because this science itself is new, you know, the science of combining pharmaceuticals and herbs is new, and people tend to be cautious about it because you're working with two very different systems. I think they're both amazing systems and they both can work very complementary together, but I don't think that they overlap on one another easily. So I think they can be used well together. My personal experience is that most of the plants, especially those that are nourishing to the nervous system, that serve more as foods and as drug-like in their action, are wonderful to use with pharmaceuticals. And I have to clarify that to say that, you know, if people are on pharmaceuticals for life-saving situations, they should consult with a holistic practitioner. Usually the suggestion is to, you know, consult with their doctor, but unless their doctor is really informed about medicinal herbs, they're not going to be able to give them good advice because they're not trained in it. So I think it's better to consult with a naturopath or a clinical herbalist who does have a background in pharmaceutical drugs, et cetera.
Rosemary, Rosemary, I'm just going to jump in because we're going to invite Liz and Ani to talk to our listeners to see how people can get a copy of the book. And we'll be back to talk about some of these herbs that people can use at home.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David. My name is Liz, and I'm here with Ani. Say good morning, Ani.
Good morning, Liz, and good morning, listeners.
And we're here to ask you to take a moment, and we're going to take a moment from this terrific program and ask you to show your financial support for KBOO by calling 1-877-500-5266. We only come to you a few times a year to do this, and otherwise every week you can count on amazing programming and longstanding programming like David Naiman's program. And we really appreciate all of the diversity of the program hosts that we have here and the amazing variety of public affairs programming that we have. And we know that you appreciate it also because you're tuned in right now. So show your support, not just by listening, but by taking that next step to becoming a supporting member. 877-500-5266. And when you become a supporting member at the $60 level, you can pick up a copy of Rosemary Gladstar's book, Herbs for Stress and Anxiety. And I ask you, who doesn't have stress and anxiety today? Ani, do you have stress and anxiety?
I do.
I have stress and anxiety. David, do you have stress and anxiety?
Indeed.
Absolutely. Kate, do you have stress and anxiety?
Oh, never.
Engineering pixie.
You know, I mean, who doesn't have stress and anxiety? But this book can really help you alleviate a lot of it, and you can support KBOO at the same time. It's a win-win. 877-500-5266 for just $60. Pick up a copy of this book or go online to kboo.fm and show your support for the diversity of programming that you have come to expect from KBOO, your local community radio station.
Absolutely right, Liz. It is so important. David, you know, I really appreciate what he does with Health Watch as he looks into so many different parts of healthcare and, I mean, really caring for your health. He really looks into digestive issues, into allergy issues. He sees how the whole body is tied together. He's sort of a holistic practitioner, and he digs deep into the health care community and the healing community and brings a variety of perspectives, not just one or two, but a whole variety of perspectives. Every time he brings Press Watch to the air, you know you're going to get relevant information that you can use to actually get stronger and healthier in your life. KBOO is the vehicle that provides this sort of programming, and right now we need you to provide the fuel for KBOO. Call us at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And again, remember, with that $60 contribution to KBOO, you can get your very own copy of Herbs for Stress and Anxiety. Let the phone answerer know that that's what you want when you dial 877-500-5266.
We're back with Rosemary Gladstar, the author of Herbs for Stress and Anxiety, How to Make and Use Herbal Remedies to Strengthen the Nervous System. So Rosemary, let's start with anxiety. What are some of your favorite herbs, and how would someone start with preparing them?
Well, one of my favorite is kava. I love kava for anxiety and for general stress as well. I think it's an herb for our times. I know it's had some bad press. It's actually been... the government was trying to recall it because supposedly, and this is true, actually, in large amounts, it can be used abusively. Like, people can get kind of drug-like reactions, kind of, if you take a lot of it over a short period of time, and we're talking about, you know, high dosages of it, it can relax the muscles to such a degree that you get wobbly leg and you can walk kind of like you're drunk. So there have been reports of people who've been driving after kava parties and being pulled over and, you know, being accused of being drunk, but there's no alcohol in their body. But I look at that as abusive use of a very powerful, wonderful, wonderful medicinal plant. And used appropriately, you know, with appropriate dosaging, there's absolutely no harm to it. It has a long history of being used in traditional ways. It was said to bring love to the heart. When you drink kava, there can be no stress, you know, no anger. It just makes people feel peaceful. And it's actually still used like that in Polynesian cultures or in Hawaii. If you ever have the opportunity when you travel to Hawaii, they still do these, the elders there and the Hawaiian people still do these beautiful kava ceremonies. But kava has a way of just relaxing the whole body. It sort of makes your mind very alert, but your body really relaxed. It's very specific for anxiety and can be very calming.
And it's good for panic attacks too, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very good for panic attacks and agoraphobia reactions. And just simply, you know, using it like when you travel, if you get really stressed out about airplanes, or for me, like when I public speak, I take a little bit of kava and it's extremely relaxing. So it can be used as a tincture. It's effective as tea. One of my favorite ways of using it is actually make a chai with it, like a warm, spicy blend, and I put a lot of kava in that. So it's, you know, very nice. And it usually is recommended, and I think this is true, it's stronger if when you're making it there, you have some oil component, because the kava lactones break down better when there's oil in it. So it's sometimes, I almost always use coconut milk. Some of the best tinctures have a little bit of coconut oil that's added to it to help, you know, to help it so that it's more absorbable. So you can use it as capsules, as tincture, or as tea. You can buy the powder and mix that into, like, nut butter balls, like make it, which also has a lot of fat in it, so it makes it more absorbable. So there's many different recipes for using it. It's most commonly taken as a tincture.
I think Portland might even have a kava restaurant, so there might be a way for people to go and try it in that context as well.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other herbs? I know that you talk also about adaptogens, not just for anxiety, but for preventative for stress, and that's another concept that isn't really pursued in conventional medicine. These tonic herbs that help the adrenal glands to become stronger and our resilience to stress to become better.
Yeah, it's very true, David. Like in traditional Chinese medicine, these adaptogenic herbs or tonic herbs, as they're called, are considered superior medicine. Like they're the highest form of medicine, because if used on a regular basis, they tend to, you know, prevent you from breaking down, getting sick, you know, being vulnerable to a lot of the stress and anxiety. And I think really in our world, in the United States today, they're the most important group of herbs. And they generally are considered safe to use. I mean, that's actually one of the definitions of them, one of the defining factors of an adaptogenic, that it's meant to be used over a period of time and is generally considered safe. And I've found that these herbs are generally safe to use with the pharmaceuticals. Again, you should reference your naturopath or books. David Winston and Stephen Mimes wrote a fabulous book on adaptogens, which is called Adaptogens, actually, and that's a great reference. So some of the herbs in that group that are specific, any of those herbs can be used, any of the many herbs that are classified as adaptogens. But some of the ones that are specific is ashwagandha, which actually would grow readily in Portland and throughout Oregon. It's an herb that is very familiar in traditional Ayurvedic medicine and is one of the main herbs in Ayurvedic medicine for strengthening the nervous system and used for stress and anxiety. And it's wonderful to take for people who get, so anxious that they have difficulty sleeping, sleeping soundly, you know, dreaming. It's wonderful to take in the evening. In fact, it's a classic drink. It's probably drank by millions of people every evening. The powder is mixed with warm milk. You can use rice milk or, you know, all the variations, almond milk or cow's milk, whatever you want, warmed up, and then you add a little cinnamon and honey to that, and it makes a wonderful, wonderful evening tonic that's deeply settling.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's a really great one for that. And then, so ashwagandha is really good, and it's also very good for people who have stress and anxiety, and it centers in the reproductive organs, so they have a lot of anxiety and erectile dysfunction, and ashwagandha is one of those herbs that's specifically used for that purpose as well.
And do you have any preference on ginsengs? I know that obviously in China, that in Korea, those are considered the emperor herbs for this category.
Yeah, and I really think they are. You know, I think a lot of the data about ginseng is correct. If you get good quality ginseng and you get ginseng, there's so many different varieties, and if you use ginseng, that matches your constitution. So, and that takes, you know, that's not an easy discussion because there are so many ginsengs. But generally, the ginseng that I do recommend the most often, because it's inexpensive and because it works very much like Panax, is the Eleutherococcus.
The Siberian?
The Siberian ginseng. Yeah, I still call it that. You're legally not supposed to call it that, or I shouldn't say legally. In the business world, they don't like you to call it that. But it's a cousin of ginseng, and it grows, it's prolific. It grows readily in cold weather climates. We actually can grow it here in Vermont quite well. I have a big shrub of it here. So it grows easily. It's common. It covers vast regions of Siberia. And the root actually is the herb that was tested and was defined an adaptogenic. That term adaptogenic came from the studies and the research done on Siberian ginseng.
Rosemary, so, I'm going to jump in again, and okay. we're going to have Liz and Ani come back in, and then we'll be back to wrap things up again.
Thank you, David.
All right. Thanks, Dave. This is Liz, and I'm here once again to ask you to show your support for David Naiman and Health Watch by going to your phone and calling 1-877-500-5266. That number is toll-free, good in all of the continental United States. But if you're not in the continental United States, you can reach us anywhere on planet Earth by going to kboo.fm. Become a member right now. Support the diversity of programming that you hear on KBOO and support Health Watch in particular. One way that you can do that and get a little thank you gift for yourself is to become a member at the $60 level, and then you can pick up a copy of Rosemary Goldstar's book, Herbs for Stress and Anxiety. That's just $60. Our phone volunteers are waiting to take your call at 877-500-5266. And we would be happy to do the following, like we're going to do right now for James, who's renewed his membership from Salem. Thank you, James. And when you renew or become a new member, we will ring the bell for you, too. We are just dying to do that, aren't we, Ani?
We are. We like it when you ring our bell. It's an important thing to do. It's because, in fact, we are excited when you renew your membership to KBOO or when you join us wholly new. It is a wonderful thing to know that we are reaching you and that you indeed care about the messages that you are getting through your radio, through your speaker, whether it be about health, your physical health, your emotional health and well-being, whether it be about the health and well-being of the planet as we look at environmental issues with Barbara Bernstein, whether it be us looking at societal health and the lenses of socioeconomics and the analysis brought to you by the Old Moles. Monday is a wonderful example on the radio zine of all of these interrelated and interlocking issues and how they really impact your life. Right now, we're asking you to bring a little impact to the community as a whole by supporting us at just $5 a month or $10 a month. You can become a sustaining member of KBOO Community Radio. You can support the values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, and social change. You can support yourself and your community, and in fact, your world, by making one simple call right now and engaging in just a little checkbook activism. 877-500-5266. And when you contribute $60 or more, you can, in fact, ask for a copy of Herbs for Stress and Anxiety by Rosemary Gladstar. You're listening to the interview this morning with David Naiman. You can ask for a copy of the book for a $75 contribution. Allow me to say, you could get a copy of this book, Herbs for Stress and Anxiety, as well as know that Friends of Trees will be planting a tree in your honor as they are partnering with KBOO to make that available to everyone who is contributing at a $75 or more level. Please do reach down deep into your pocket and let us know what you can afford to support your entire community at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
That's right. There's another way that you can alleviate stress and anxiety with a thank you gift for at the $60 level. You can receive a pair of 1-hour passes to the Common Ground Wellness Center. This is a $60 minimum membership, and this is a great opportunity to have a relaxing soak in a hot tub in a beautifully relaxed, safe, friendly environment. But we need to hear from you right now. 877-500-5266. Now's the time to show your support for Dr. Naiman and Health Watch. Now's the time to show your support for the diversity of programming that you will hear only on KBOO. Now is the time to take that step from just being a listener to really actively supporting your community radio station. We rely on your support. More than 80% of our funding comes from individual listener donations. So, you know, your contribution is crucial. Your $60, your $90, it all comes together and helps this station not only continue to run, but to grow and expand and become more and better at serving your needs as the Portland community. We need to hear from you right now, 877-500-5266. And again, for $60, you can pick up either a copy of Rosemary Goldstar's book, Herbs for Stress and Anxiety, or you can pick up a pair of one-hour passes to the Common Ground Wellness Center. We only have a few of those passes left, so now would be the time to call, 877-500-5266. And I do want to mention just one more thing. We have a goal of $500 for this program, and this program will end at 12 noon. Is that right?
That's right.
And so we have a little more than half an hour to make that goal. And we know that $500 is an awful lot of money. We're not asking any one person to pony up that amount, although if you can, certainly we would love to have you do that. But, you know, $500, that's 10 people becoming a member at the $50 level. That's, you know, 5 people becoming a member at the $100 level. This is a great opportunity. Whatever KBOO means to you financially, you put a number on it and then pick up the phone and call 877-500-5266.
We're back with Rosemary Gladstar, the author of Herbs for Stress and Anxiety. Rosemary, we only have a couple minutes left, but maybe we could just touch a little bit on depression. Since it's a very multifactorial thing, so obviously I don't think we could zero in necessarily on one or two herbs that are going to help everybody, but what are some of the ones that you look to, and what is your thinking process around it?
Right. One of my very favorite herbs is hawthorn, because so often depression has to do with loss or grief, and hawthorn is, we usually think of hawthorn as strengthening to the heart, and it's often indicated for people who have heart issues, and generally thinking of the physical heart issues, but I really find it's very emotionally bracing, and I oftentimes mix it with a little St. John's wort. St. John's wort has a huge reputation for depression, but and I like it. I find it useful for depression, but I find that it's generally effective mostly for a kind of light depression, maybe depression where there's lack of light in people's life. It can be seasonal, you know, sad seasonal light defective disorder, the depths of winter when people are feeling a little gray. But for really deep-seated depression, I don't find it as effective unless it's mixed and blended with other herbs. So I often mix it with a hawthorn and also with lemon balm. Lemon balm is another herb that I find very uplifting to the spirits. Rather than dealing with the depression, it seems to lift up feelings and emotions. And so I oftentimes will blend those three together. And if there's debilitation, if somebody's just worn out and tired, I oftentimes will include milky oats in that formula. So those are the primary ones I really love. And I use them often together, and sometimes will, you know, depending on what might be the source of that depression. Oftentimes it's identifiable. People get depressed sometimes because of a lot of loss of a job, loss of a loved one. And sometimes it's not real definable, you know. So then using an herb like, you know, just that blend, that lemon balm, hawthorn, St. John's wort with milky oats in it. And oftentimes I actually put hibiscus. Hibiscus isn't generally considered, like you'll never read, I don't think, in herb books that hibiscus is related to depression or is an herb that's used. But again, I find herbs that are uplifting to the spirits. Oftentimes flowers, even though flowers, there are some flowers like roses are often associated with the nervous system and depression. But on the deepest level, flowers have a way of lifting up spirit. So oftentimes when I make even heavy, strong medicinal blends where I want to put lightness in, I want to lift up, I'll put flowers like the blue malva, or the roses, you know, violet flowers, and borage flowers is another herb. The herb borage is another herb that's very good for depressive states. It doesn't get a lot of press right now. You know, herbs run in and out of popularity. But
Rosemary, it was a pleasure having you on today again. And yeah. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but do you have a website you could briefly mention?
I do. It's www.sagemountain.com.
Great. Well, it was great having you on Health Watch again today.
Thank you, David. It's great to talk to you.
We are talking today with Rosemary Gladstar about her newest book, Herbs for Stress and Anxiety, How to Make and Use Herbal Remedies to Strengthen the Nervous System, which I believe is available at the $60 pledge. Stay tuned for the rest of the Monday Morning Radio Zine. I think next up is Madness Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Organizing and Winning for 21st Century Movements, Wednesday, May 7th, 7:15 p.m. at Portland State University. The speakers for this event will be Steve Early, author of Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress, journalist Arun Gupta, founder of The Independent and the Occupied Wall Street Journal, and Joanna Brenner, retired PSU faculty member who writes on feminist theory and politics. Again, that's Wednesday, May 7th at Portland State University's Smith Center, room 238 at 1825 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
What does it mean to be called crazy in a crazy world? Listen to Madness Radio, Voices and Visions from Outside Mental Health, sponsored by peer-run support communities Freedom Center, the Icarus Project, and Portland Hearing Voices. Madness Radio can be heard on FM stations on the Pacifica Radio Network and is online at kboo.fm/madnessradio. Welcome to Madness Radio. This is your host, Will Hall. Today, my guest is Nev Jones. Nev is a psychiatric anthropology interdisciplinary researcher. She's a postdoctorate fellow at Stanford University and the founder of Chicago Hearing Voices and co-director of the Lived Experience Research Network. Nev has been diagnosed with schizophrenia and lives with altered states experiences that would traditionally be called psychosis. So welcome to Madness Radio, Nev Jones.
Thanks, Will. It's great to be here.
Yes, and we were struggling with your bio because so much of your work, and I think that's one of the things that is so interesting about your work, is really